Hundreds of Tibetan exiles have gathered in Dharamsala, India, for meetings called by the Dalai Lama to discuss a new China strategy. It's the first such meeting in nearly two decades. The Dalai Lama acknowledged earlier this month that talks with China to win greater autonomy for Tibet had not been successful. In turn, China has warned against any efforts at Tibetan independence, calling them doomed. Robbie Barnett is following the talks closely. He's a professor of modern Tibetan studies at Columbia University and joins us to talk about it. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, how big of a blow is this that the Dalai Lama says his longtime approach, autonomy rather than independence, is not working?
Well, it's a very significant moment in modern Tibetan history, really, for the leader to say this after 30 years of having given up independence and tried really hard to talk to the Chinese to get this autonomy deal. But he doesn't, interestingly, lose status because he has this peculiarly strong position as a charismatic leader where his ability to acknowledge a failure somehow adds to his stature, makes him seem, you know, open, more democratic, more flexible than the Chinese and than most political leaders we have. So he's still gaining as an individual leader, but he is taking the Tibetans into having to face a crisis in terms of their path and their policy.
Well, this path, which is known as the Middle Way, if his approach isn't working, what are the options that Tibetan exiles are discussing this week?
Well, the way it's been presented by the most politically active exiles and by the press is as a choice between continuing the Dalai Lama's middle way, that's asking just for an increase in the level of autonomy within China, or the other extreme, going for independence, which Tibetans say they enjoyed before the Chinese moved in 1950. But actually, there's some really quite interesting ideas beginning to percolate. Some people are talking about serious attempts at civil disobedience, really non-violent, non-cooperation inside Tibet. They haven't been very good at that, the Tibetans, so far. It would take a lot of discipline to do that and might be impossible in a Chinese regime. But there's an interesting move to talk about going around the Chinese government and appealing to the Chinese people, presumably through PR and perhaps through Buddhist teachings, to see whether Chinese people themselves wouldn't be able to take a position on Tibet and push the government themselves. And that has a real possibility because more and more Chinese in the last 10 years have become very interested in the Dalai Lama.
Although from the evidence of the protests last spring, the evidence of what it seemed to be the Chinese people on the web and in different forums were saying, they did not seem to have a great deal of sympathy for the Tibetan cause, and rather the opposite. They seemed to see that cause as making China look bad in the world and a misunderstanding of Chinese history.
Well, yes, that's true. But there's probably a very substantial number of people who are not part of the new nationalism. In fact, maybe even find it slightly distasteful, rather aggressive. And we don't hear from those people. But they're an important sector of Chinese society, particularly in the upper middle class. The lower class, working class people turn in quite large numbers to Christianity in various forms. But upper middle class and richer people become more and more interested in Buddhism, particularly Tibetan Buddhism.
What do you know of the situation inside Tibet right now?
Well, we are hearing trickles of information. A couple of Australian journalists were allowed into Lhasa 2 weeks ago, and they brought out photos which are quite shocking, not just showing armed patrols with submachine guns with their fingers on the trigger, but also showing snipers on rooftops that we've never seen in action before, even inside China, let alone Tibet.
And just to remind, Lhasa, of course, the capital of Tibet, where these protests, some of them violent, took place last spring.
Yes, we also hear of a lot of sentencing. The first sentencing has happened of a woman who is just been given 5 years for making a phone call to try and get some news out. People being sentenced now for nothing to do with protests in terms of taking part in them, but just in distributing information. So it looks like security has been very much stepped up inside Tibet.
Thank you very much for talking with us.
My pleasure. Thank you, Renee.
Robbie Barnett is professor of modern Tibetan studies at Columbia University.